He's always protected me. If we die here today, I don't want him feeling like he failed me. I reach out to him and curse myself when I feel tears trickling down my cheeks. I don't want him to know Tyler raped me for the same reason I don't want Mama to know. I want her to remember me happy. There was nothing either of them could have done to stop him. Opportunity has so many secrets. The only thing that matters now is that we are together. We are alive. Nothing. He did nothing.
The Adventures of May. Current location. Opportunity high. I've never seen so many families and friends of students in one place. Not graduation or prom. There are even some of my former classmates. Graduates who never left opportunity. We hold on to each other. Students run out of the school. There are survivors. Thank God there are survivors. But that makes it harder somehow. There are so many faces we don't see. Are they lost to us? I don't see my dad. I can't see him anywhere. We all cling to our lifelines, our phones, our memories, each other. I feel so useless here. None of us have any answers. Comments. Disabled.
Chapter 20. 10:42 to 10:44 a.m.
Autumn. When the door to the auditorium bursts open, students scream. I lean over to see what's going on. Half a dozen officers dressed in SWAT uniforms sweep down the aisle. I gently prop Matt up against a backpack. His face is ashen, the angles drawn sharper than when I first saw him. His lips are turning blue, distorting the words he wants to say. Another half dozen SWAT officers follow behind the first group, fanning out across the auditorium. They signal to indicate the space is secure. One of the officers closest to Matt and me curses under his breath before reporting the situation on his radio. I rock to my feet and shout for someone to help me. I bend over Matt to hear what he's saying, but the words die on his lips, and his eyes begin to lose focus. I smile in the hopes he can see me, in the hopes he'll think I understood him. "When it snows, we'll have a snowball fight and drag your sisters into it," I say. "They won't refuse, not when I tell them how brave you were today." Something sparks in his gaze, a smile that never reaches his lips. His eyes turn away from me as one of the SWAT teams approaches. I step aside and he crouches by Matt, examining him. "Can you help him?" Under the visor of his helmet, the officer wears a tight-lipped frown. His eyes are concerned.
"We'll need to get you and everyone who can run out of here as soon as possible."
I shake my head.
"But can you help him?"
"When it's safe, we'll send in the paramedics for the wounded."
I stare at him, and almost imperceptibly he shakes his head.
"Let's get you out. There's nothing we can do."
"You can't be serious."
I back away from him.
"Come on, you have to get out," he repeats.
Matt is pale, but he nods slowly. All over the auditorium, students and teachers are guided toward the exits. Those who can still walk, walk. Others lend support. And those with serious injuries are left behind in a room full of death. They won't let me stay with Matt, but I can't just leave either. Not when Sylv may be wandering the school somewhere, not when Ty is still around. Because Matt was right. Ty is my brother. He'll always be, no matter what. The officer guides me to a group of students at one of the doors who are waiting for the go-ahead to be escorted through the school. No one makes eye contact, and it's almost a relief. If they're all so focused on getting out, no one will try to stop me if I try to stay in.
Claire. Chris's lips move, but I don't hear what he says. I cling to the phone. Over the voices from the auditorium, I only ever hear the question, "Can you help him?"
Nothing we can do.
Chris places his hand on my arm, but I shrug him off.
Matt!
It's silent for such a long time that I'm convinced it's too late. Then there's a soft cough.
I'm so cold, Claire.
I find an empty folding chair and sit.
I didn't know you were hurt.
I didn't want to tell you.
You worry too much.
I try to smile.
Punk, that's what I'm here for. I'll always worry about you.
He didn't shoot me on purpose,
he says. Matt starts to cough again, but it sounds faint.
Tyler shot him. My ex-boyfriend shot my brother.
And Matt still tries to protect him,
like I tried to protect him.
Save your strength, I tell him quietly.
They'll come back for you. And I'll be here. I'll be waiting. You know how I promised you we'd decorate your figurines? We'll do that when you're home. The doctors will fix you up. They always do.
My voice cracks, but I try to mask it. When Trace is home on leave, we'll take a trip to the beach together, the three of us. Just like we used to. Matt coughs again, but I imagine he smiles. My head feels so light, like I'm still running and haven't been able to breathe for days.
I'd like that, he says.
I wish I could hold him close and tell him everything will be all right, because between Tracy and me, we'll always take care of him. But how can I tell him that now?
You know, out of the three of us, you were always the cool one. You're creative. You're so brave.
I'd always meant to tell him that.
I'm so sorry. I should be there for you.
Chris crouches next to me. He always knows exactly when I need him most. My words are met with silence. I wait to give Matt time to catch his breath, but I can't hear him breathing anymore.
Matt?
My fingers are ice cold.
Matt? Matt!
Sylv, a gust of cold air blows in. We'll be fine under roof, Fareed decides as he leans out. There's not much cover, but if we're close to the building, from inside it shouldn't be too obvious that we're out here. I swallow a sudden bout of nausea. We're trapped in this lab. I'd rather be trapped in the open air, even if it is up on a roof. Even if we could lock the window, which we can't, all Tyler would need is one bullet or the butt of his gun to shatter the glass to get to us. Still, it's the only option we have, other than running back into the hallway. And that would be death for us, too. Fareed is climbing over the sill. At least it's not raining. With Fareed on the roof and Tomas inside, they help me maneuver through the open window. It's a little too high to climb out easily, and I'm not as nimble as Autumn would be, but I get a leg up and over. Once I'm sitting on the windowsill, Fareed walks away, looking around him. Presumably to find police officers. To signal for help. Tomas wraps his arms around me.
We're on top of a roof. Are you afraid?
Not of heights right now. I try to smile, but I don't quite know how. The roof itself doesn't scare me. But there's nowhere to hide up here.
We can always jump, Fareed says from a distance. Broken legs are a small price to pay.
Pleasant thought, Tomas murmurs. Gunshots sound again, closer, and he tenses. Then he pulls me to him.
None of this is your fault, he says into my hair. You couldn't have stopped him even if you had talked to someone. I love you.
And I know, no matter how many secrets I may have, he'll always be there for me. It makes me feel safe.
Tomas, I hope she smiles again. She's radiant when she smiles, which isn't surprising. She has the same genes as me, of course. I'm sorry we fought so much this past year. We wasted so much time. If I had known we'd end up here, she squeezes me tightly, If you had known, we still would have fought. It's what we do best.
That's true. Of course it's true. Twin brother privileges. I draw out this moment for as long as I dare. Sylvia on the window ledge, Freedom at her back, and me standing in front of her. Time pauses long enough for me to tell her, you know, you aren't the only one with secrets. I always wanted to study archaeology, like a modern Indiana Jones, but slightly less racist. Focus on our own heritage. I always thought Abuelo would like that. Tell him, won't you? Maybe he'll understand in the end. Tell Mama... I don't even know. Tell her I picked the locks on the auditorium and that super-gluing Mr. Herrera's desk was the best decision I ever made. Tell her about that time we spiked the milk in the cafeteria with food coloring so it all turned green, and how we hid chickens in the teacher's lounge. Tell her I asked the prettiest girl in the school out on a date today, and she didn't even say no. My voice swells as I help her out the window. She's listening so intently, she doesn't seem scared as Farid lifts her down onto the roof. I expect her to argue or to laugh at me, but her dark eyes are serious. And in that moment, I love her for being there. Hell, just tell Mama I had a wonderful sister. Tell her I had the most amazing friends. The air outside is crisp, and I can almost taste the promise of snow. Tell her I was happy, okay? I smile. Tell her I was happy, and don't let her forget me. With those words, I let go of Sylv's hands. I hope she'll remember me smiling, too. Sliding the window shut behind her, I turn away so I don't have to see her look of surprised betrayal when she realizes I'm not going with her. I take a calming breath, then walk back to the door. They need time, and time is what I can give them.
CJ Johnson, at Cadet CJJ. The auditorium is almost empty while we're waiting to get out. 10:43 a.m., 272 favorites. CJ Johnson, at Cadet CJJ. Someone will wake me up and tell me it was all a dream, right? Hashtag OHS. 10:44 a.m.
J. Ike, at J. Ike 32. At Cadet CJJ, I wish. Hashtag OHS. 10:44 a.m. Chapter 21, 10:44 to 10:46 a.m.
Claire, nothing else matters but the silence on the other side of the line. For Matt's 6th birthday, we pimped an old tricycle to make it look like a spaceship. Dad cut the parts from cardboard, and Trace and I painted them in whatever colors Matt wanted. Red with streaks of blue, purple with green dots, black stripes and white stars. It didn't look like anything special, but Matt was overjoyed. That cardboard spaceship was the start of his obsession with anything with wings, to the point where Dad once said he and Mom would have to get him flying lessons instead of driving lessons. The mere thought of it had Matt bouncing around the house for days. Chris hands me a paper cup of water, but I don't feel thirsty. I don't feel anything. Part of me waits for Matt to cough, to breathe. But I know it's futile. I know. When Matt was 12, we drove down to the coast so he could see the ocean. Well, the Gulf. It was the only vacation we had gone on since he was born. But that summer was special. Dad had a new job. Tracy had enlisted and would leave for training in the fall. We ate dinner first and walked along the beach at sunset, all of us helping Matt when his crutches got sucked into the muddy sand. By the time darkness shimmered across the water, we had sand in our shoes, our clothes, our hair, our ears. We lay on our backs and stared at the stars, which were starting to appear, and Trace and I each held on to one of Matt's hands. He told us all about the constellations overhead. I love that the sky is endless, he said. If I can't go to space, I want to study the stars. Do you know the light we see really means we're looking back in history?
Does that mean we're in the future?
Trace laughed. No. We're at exactly the right place at exactly the right time. Today, I was at neither. When Chris gently switches off the phone, I stuff my hands in my pockets and start to pace. On the other side of the police tape, people wrap their arms around each other and cry, hold hands and pray, whisper words of encouragement to each other. There are so many people here, and Chris is by my side, but I have never felt more alone. I wish my parents were here, but at the same time, I'm not ready to face them. Not yet. Maybe not ever. When I spot Deputy Lee in the crowd, I touch his arm and draw him to a quiet spot. How can we help?
You know that's not possible, Claire.
Anything at all?
The deputy shakes his head. We're victims, too, with names and witness reports to be taken. But I need to do something.
Please!
He wavers, and I push.
Please! Anything!
Anything to stop me from losing my mind. From feeling like I failed everyone. When Chris takes my hand and echoes my words, Deputy Lee guides us to the large shelter.
If you want to help, talk to the students who are afraid. They would benefit from seeing familiar faces. Our officers will take their names and their reports. The most important thing you can do is be there.
A gesture of kindness. It's all we need.
After the students are registered and checked for injuries, they will be escorted to an emergency center in town. There, they'll be reunited with their families as they arrive.
He hesitates, as if unsure whether this is a good idea.
If at any point this becomes too much for you, you let us know and we'll make sure you get there too. You should be there to wait for your families.
Opportunity High is our family, I say. We can listen.
Chris reaches for my hand and squeezes. With everything that has happened, I don't know who I am. I am a sister. Was. Am. I hope. A handful of students head our way, and I straighten despite my trembling hands. A girl breaks away from the group and walks toward me.
Autumn. When a handful of police officers lead a group of students out of the auditorium, I grab my chance. I trail them at the back of the group and shiver when we cross the threshold to the hallway. I take in the bullet holes in the lockers, more bodies and blood spatters on the linoleum, and I hang back to get my bearings. Where would Sylve go? Maybe she's outside already. Maybe she's safe. In here there are too many bodies, too many signs that Ty continued his rampage. Where would Ty go? If he stayed on this floor, or if he'd gone outside, the police would have captured him and the paramedics would be here already, and we wouldn't need to sneak out. It'd make most sense for him to go to the second floor. My cut stings, and I wipe at my cheek with my sleeve, which only makes the pain worse. I hang near the wall and let the group walk away from me. The soft static of the officers' radios fades. I won't have much time. Once the auditorium is clear, they'll do a sweep of the school, I think. As soon as the group turns the corner, I'll run to the staircase. I'll be careful. I'll be quiet. If Sylve is upstairs, so is Ty. I won't let either of them go without a fight. They're all I have left. A shot rings out upstairs.
We have to get you out,
one of the officers says, hurrying the group along. Everyone rushes toward the front of the school, to safety, protected on either side by the SWAT team. No one notices me. Another shot sounds upstairs, and I make my way toward the second floor. In the dim lighting, the stairwell feels haunted. Even more so when I see two students sprawled across the steps, their blank eyes staring at me. Neither are Sylve. We had planned to go to New York together. Not for my audition, I needed to do that on my own. But after that, if I got accepted. We were going to go after Sylve graduated. Our own private road trip. A visit to Juilliard, then up to Brown. Because, of course, she'll get in. And wherever else we wanted to go. Away from here, we'd face the world. We'd build our home. Together. Oh, God. I hope I'm not too late.
Tomas. I quietly close the door behind me and move away from it. It'll be easy for Tyler to find the one that's unlocked, but it will take him time. Time we have, and he doesn't. Because with every second, more students escape and the police move closer. They have to. They have to save us. Run, Sylvia. Run. I walk fast to get as far away from the room as possible. Across the hall, Tyler tries another door. Locked. When he turns, his gun in hand and an agitated look in his eyes, he spots me and pauses. He no longer looks neat and immaculate. There are blood spatters on his shirt, and his spiky hair is ruffled. You know, sweaty chic doesn't suit you, I muse. Tyler falters, though only for a moment. I should have known. Come to protect your sister? What are you going to do? Hit me again? I'll always protect her, I say. I thought I would have to struggle to keep my anger under control, but all I have to do is think about Sylvia and Farid running, running, running. As long as they're safe, nothing else matters. My calm seems to throw him off guard, but a slow grin spreads across his face. I can't imagine a more eerie reaction from someone holding a gun. You think you're something, don't you? The joker of the school, he says. Are you afraid now? This time I'm in control, and there is nothing you can do about it. You'll kill me? That's that. So no, I'm not afraid. I shrug while sweat runs down my back and my arms. Funny thing, though, that still means I am in control. He pulls the trigger, and I flinch. The bullet buries itself in the wall beside me. Tyler's gloating makes me want to charge him, but I refuse to give him that pleasure. You'll kill me on my terms, I say, and I hate that my voice trips and breaks. Firing his gun, on the other hand, seems to have made Tyler more confident. He takes a step closer and points the gun at my head. At least you won't be in my way anymore. Was that your brilliant plan? Protect your sister by sacrificing yourself? Just imagine what I can do without you around to protect her. Nothing more than with me here. Inwardly, I wince at how true those words are. You see, we have friends. I know it must be hard for you to understand, but I know she'll be safe, and she'll know she's loved. Whereas you, you're a maggot, and soon you'll be a dead maggot. I may be dead, but you won't hurt her anymore. He raises an eyebrow. Was telling me that worth it? I eye the barrel, and I can almost feel Sylvia's arms around me, see the look in her eyes whenever I made her laugh, whenever Autumn danced, whenever we were all together at the farm and Mama was having one of her good days. I can't protect her from every danger, but I can give her more days to love. Telling him wasn't worth it. But delaying him long enough for Sylve to escape? It's so worth it.
Sylve. No. 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 He can't. Tomas can't leave me. On this side of the window, the sound of voices drifts up on the wind. Parents, police, camera crews, vehicles come and go, helicopters rattle the air. It feels as though we've been dropped back into the real world, into life. On the other side of the roof, Farid is signaling to the police. But I need Tomas with me. Ragged sobs burst from my chest as I claw at the window. There are no handles from this side, and I'm not even sure if there's a way to open it.
but that doesn't stop me from trying. I scratch at the window frame. Silv. Farid's strong hands guide mine away from the glass. He is so close it makes me want to lash out, but he holds me while I struggle. Against his hands, against the window, against everything that keeps me from my brother. I struggle against his voice, too. I won't listen. I don't want to hear what he has to say. Farid does not take that into account, though.
Tomas knows what he's doing. He wanted...
Don't you dare! I cut him off. Don't tell me what he wanted to do or that everything might be fine.
He would not have wanted you to go back inside.
I can't stay out. I shake my head. I can't stop shaking my head. I won't leave the classroom, I promise, but I can't stay here. I can't stay here. I look down, and it's as if the ground twists and turns under my feet, as if the school is trying to shake us off. Farid loosens his grip a little, and I sink to the roof. My arms shake. The shingles chafe my knees. In front of us, a chopper circles, and someone in a black uniform calls to us. The noise distorts his words, and it's impossible to understand him. I push further into myself while Farid's hands fall away. He edges toward the helicopter, shouting back to the officer. With Farid distracted, I stand and try to push the window open again. We opened this. Tomas didn't lock it. I should be able to open it again. I have to. The vinyl of the frame is too smooth to give me a good grip, but the window gives way. An inch. Just an inch. Farid turns to me and tries to stop me, but once my grip is solid, the rest is easy. I pull myself up and launch myself through the open window, escaping his grasp and diving headlong toward the floor. I scramble to my feet and close the window to block the sound, and Farid, when the silence stops me in my tracks. It's terrifying. On the other side of the door, gunshots echo through the hallway. One, two, three. Tyler's unmistakable voice. I win.
J. Ike at J. Ike 32. No words for today. Maybe there never will be. Hashtag OHS. 10:45 a.m.
Abby Smith at yet another A. Smith.
At J. Ike 32. I'm so sorry. Hashtag OHS.
10:45 a.m. Family North at Fam North Op.
At J. Ike 32. We're praying for you. Hashtag OHS.
10:45 a.m.
Father Williams, at Sacred Heart Opportunity.
At Fam North Op, at J. Ike 32. We'll hold a candle mass tonight. All are welcome.
10:45 a.m. Chapter 22, 10:46 to 10:47 a.m.
Silv. A blanket of gray covers Opportunity. Tomas loved days like these. Even though he hated work on the farm, he loved going outside when the sky was overcast. When we still had horses, he would stay in the stables to sit out the storm. Then he would saddle one of the mares and ride off as soon as the sky cleared, the thick smell of ozone still heavy in the air. After Mama's diagnosis, he wouldn't wait for the rain to clear. When we sold the horses, he'd go running as soon as the first drops of rain pelted the windows, and he'd come back soaking wet and happy. Abuelo complained about it all the time.
He'll catch his death, he said. He goes running toward it like an old friend, and it will embrace him before he knows.
Tomas always shrugged off these comments. I'm running with the wind, he'd say, and no one will ever catch me, not even death. I sag against the wall, and another bang shakes my memories. I tell myself that was all it was. Thunder. A storm come to sweep him off his feet. Come to make him fly.
Claire.
I don't know where Ray is. She was sitting next to me when the doors opened.
but when we ran, I lost track of her. Has she been here?
The girl in front of me trembles. Her blonde hair is matted against her forehead. The officer next to me flicks through pages of notes, but he comes up with nothing.
We have vans to take you to the emergency center in Opportunity. If she makes it out, you'll see her there.
What do you mean, if?
Her voice cracks, but she is gently led away, and another student gives his name with a steady voice.
Steve Jackson.
He has black hair, wears black clothes. Although Steve's a junior, he's in some of my classes. His little sister is on my drill team. I want to ask him about her, the determined, mousy-haired girl who became the backbone of our group. She planned to start a color guard troop on campus. We were supposed to have coffee this week to talk about organizing it. I want to ask him about her, but I don't have to. Apparently, we all have the same questions in our eyes. What have you seen? Who have you lost? What can you tell us?
I don't know where CJ is,
he says quietly. He wipes at his eyes, leaving a smudge of black eyeliner on his cheeks, before he is led to a van that will shuttle him to the center in Opportunity. They keep on coming, students and the occasional teacher or staff member, each with their own stories of the lost and questions about the missing, and all we can do, all we must do, is listen and be supportive. I know she's still alive. She has to be. We were planning to go to Europe together this summer, just us on our backpacks. London, Paris, Rome. We are going to visit Big Ben and picnic in front of the Eiffel Tower and see the Colosseum. She wanted to go to Berlin, too. Her family's originally from Germany, you know? She wanted... He shot him right in front of me.
The bullet went through his neck. There was so much blood. Will you tell his parents? What did he want with us? What did we ever do to him?
I don't know where she is.
After another group of students leaves and we're left waiting, I sink into a chair. My heart is empty and my head is full. The stories tumble over one another. We're grief counselors simply because we're there. I can understand why Deputy Lee did not want us here. I never realized that courage was so terrifying. But even if the stories are horrific, everyone coming through our tent shares a common understanding. It fills our emptiness. Strong arms wrap themselves around me as Chris pulls me into a hug. His heartbeat thumps against my cheek. I place my hand on the nape of his neck, tracing his goosebumps. His hands trail from my shoulders to my ears as he pushes a strand of hair out of the way.
You are so brave.
Chris's voice rumbles, deep and low.
Autumn. This floor covers only a third of the school's first floor. Even so, the corridor feels like it goes on forever. The doors on either side of the hallway are closed. I stay close to the wall. Voices from downstairs float up, the clipped commands of freedom and safety, of SWAT officers filtering into the school. This hallway seems untouched by the violence below, but on closer inspection I see bullets have drilled themselves into wooden doors and the cinder block walls. At least here are no bodies. No Sylve. I hope they made it to the roof. At the corner I crouch low and peek around it. Ty stands in the center of the hallway, and he swings his gun wildly.
You won't get in my way again, he rants. You won't stop me from showing your sister her place. You are too late. Do you hear that? You've lost.
I inch closer to see who he's talking to, only to come to a full stop when the scene unfolds in front of me. Tomas's prone body lies at Tyler's feet.
The Adventures of May. Current location, Opportunity High. Whenever we see survivors, there is a sparkle of hope. Maybe our friends, maybe our loved ones are coming too. If we hold hands, we can form a safety net for those who are still wandering and lost. Like when Mrs. Morales arrived with her father. She's rarely out in public anymore. There was such a frantic look in her eyes, but someone brought her tea. The colonel's wife came to stand next to her and whispered soothing words, and everyone formed a circle around her. Dad always cared so much about common humanity. That was why he became a teacher. I hope he found it inside. I think he'll find it here. If he gets out. When he gets out. Comments disabled.
Chapter 23, 1047 to 1048 a.m.
Autumn. My breath catches. The sound startles Ty. He pivots to face me.
What are you doing here?
He demands. The bitterness in his voice is palpable. I stare past him at Tomas, who lies on the ground. Ignoring the gun, I slide past my brother and crouch next to Tomas's body to close his unseeing eyes. There are SWAT teams downstairs, I say. It's only a matter of time before they're here. It's over. You lost, I want to add. But I know better than that. It would only anger him more. Besides, if anyone lost, it's us. It's opportunity. It's Sylv, who can't be far off if Tomas is. Was here. Give it up, Tyler. He doesn't respond, but at least he hasn't shot me yet. The gun hangs useless by Ty's side. This time, however, I don't try to advance on him.
You know, after Mom died, apart from Sylv, you were the only one to ever see me dance. You know the ballet shoe charm you bought me for my birthday last year?
I keep my eyes down as I show him the bracelet around my wrist, blood smudged on the silver.
I've never taken it off.
In the distance, the sound of boots, slow, careful, on the lookout for traps, comes from the stairs. Coming closer. When Ty's hand brushes my wrist, my voice trips.
I plan to wear it to my audition. You were always with me. You are always with me. You never had to be alone, Ty.
Claire. With the exodus of students comes more news of the dead. The young officer sitting to the side of the tent records their names. We're not supposed to hear them. The report is part of the crime scene, and as long as the bodies haven't been retrieved and verified, their deaths are not official. Though that will be of little comfort to the parents, or to Chris and me. We all hear the names and recognize too many of them. A current passes through the crowd with the news of each survivor. Relief and sorrow follow each other rapidly, because with the names of those who live comes the void of those who have not. Death brings life. Life brings death. There are no words in that fleeting moment between hope and the knowledge. There is no way to express how a heart can burst and break at the same time, how the sun can cut through the darkness, but will cast shadows everywhere. There are only fingers that entwine with another's, arms that link in solidarity. With every new name, someone breaks down and someone else holds them up. At the entrance to the student parking lot, police officers inform parents and families to report to Opportunities Church for further processing and possible questioning. But few of them leave. Instead, they stay here together. And even if they sought comfort elsewhere, we'd all know where to find whomever we needed. Opportunity is no place for secrets. Not anymore. Not after today. We are home.
Sylv. Autumn's voice swirls around me, just out of reach. SWAT teams upstairs. Police outside. I repeat in my mind. It's over. It's over. Madre de Dios, I hope she's right. But it's so, so impossible to believe. With all that has happened, today won't be over. Today will never be over again.
If only Tomas had waited a few minutes longer. Farid slips in through the window, and I expect him to try to pull me out to the roof again. I cradle my knees to my chest and shake my head. His shoulders drop. Farid sags down next to me against the wall. He wraps an arm around my shoulders and I lean against him. We don't make a sound. I listen to Autumn try to reason with Tyler. Please listen. Please end this. Everyone I've loved, I whisper. Everyone I love is slipping through my fingers. Farid bows his head.
For the first few weeks after we came here, my father would tell me the same thing every night. You can't always keep your loved ones with you. You can't always settle your life in one place. The world was made to change. But as long as you cherish the memories and make new ones along on the way, no matter where you are, you'll always be at home.
J-Ike at J-Ike 32. I don't know what to do now. We're all waiting. Hashtag OHS. 10:47 a.m. 134 favorites, 150 retweets. Chapter 24. 10:48 to 10:50 a.m.
Sylph. Farid reminds me of something Mama once told me. And that only makes the pain worse. When Autumn first began wearing Tyler's charm, the only telltale sign that she was already working on an application to Juilliard, she had a soft light in her eyes and a faint blush on her cheeks. She was so proud of it. She said it was the first real acknowledgement she'd had since her mom died that someone understood what dancing meant to her. And it mocked me. I remember running home from school that day, needing space to be by myself. Mama sat on the porch outside. She'd made tea for the both of us, and although it was black enough to be coffee, and the cookies she dug up were stale, she smiled.
How was school, Nina?
Seeing her matted curls around her face and her hands sitting calmly on her lap, I forgot about the charm in Tyler. Instead, I dropped my bag and sat down on the porch next to her.
School was good, Mama, I said. I sent in my college application.
I'm so proud of you. She always said that, even though her lucid days were few and far between. You and your brothers, you'll make something of your lives. She didn't protest when my brothers came home to care for her. All of us taking turns. But she took notice. And she cared that Tomas and I went to college more than any of us. Especially these last few months. I nibbled on a chocolate chip cookie. Yes, Mama. Just don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the stories of our family. No, Mama. My replies came automatically, because I wanted her to keep talking. We didn't need to have deep and meaningful conversations. It was special to simply sit with her and talk about the mundane things. School, homework, the future. But she was perceptive that day, and she raised an eyebrow. Don't take that tone with me, young lady. Then she laughed, the sound all throaty and warm. She laughed as if it were the funniest thing in the world. Giggles rose in my chest until I couldn't hold on to them any longer, and I snorted out my tea, hiccuping and laughing at the same time. No, Mama. That set her off all over again. Abuelo pulled up the driveway and sat there in the truck, his window rolled down, staring at us as if we'd both gone mad. We couldn't stop laughing. And it healed a rift between us. All the words unspoken and forgotten. A few minutes after Abuelo went into the house, Mama stilled. I'll miss you, my wonderful daughter. I wish I could stay with you forever, to see you grow into the woman I always knew you would be. You are so strong. But promise me you will take care of your brothers. I laid my head on her lap and she stroked my hair. I promised. Always, Mama. Always. Far? I sit up, although I don't meet his eyes.
How do I explain to Mama that Tomas isn't coming home?
He doesn't have an answer to that. Neither do I.
Claire. Although the idea of setting up an emergency center where students and families can be reunited is good in theory, it turns out to be mostly impractical, as those students pass their families to get to the main road. Many are intercepted and reunited before they even reach the vans. There is nothing better than seeing smiles and happy tears, especially when SWAT officers return with another group of students. They signal that more students are on their way, not far behind, and wild hope whispers through the crowd. Part of me is still waiting for Matt to walk out, too. Except for every student present, the ghost of another student haunts us. With every tally mark, the dead creep closer.
Sarge!
A voice rises above the others and makes my heart jump. Leading a group of the rescued students is CJ.
You don't know how often I've wished to be a trackie today, she says as she wraps her arms around me.
She tries to make light of it, but there's a trace of bitterness. I can't imagine all she's seen. She stands tall. Her hair is still neatly braided, her clothes impeccable, but her eyeliner is running. And with every word she speaks, her mood grows darker.
I wish I had one of our drill guns. I could have knocked him out. Or at least I could have tried. I should have. I'm so sorry.
Fierce, unbreakable CJ breaks.
All those deaths. How could it happen here? Why couldn't we stop it?
I don't have an answer, but I reach out to take her hand.
If you could have done anything, I know you would have. Steve is looking for you. He's at the shelter.
Her whole face lights up. Then she starts sobbing. I pull her close, smoothing her hair and holding her while her shoulders shake.
It'll be all right,
I say softly.
You're both safe now. You're both alive and you're both safe.
She looks up at me, her face tear-stained.
I watched his friends die.
Autumn.
I love you, you know. I only wanted us to be a family. That's all I ever asked of you,
I say. Ty uses the gun to push a wayward strand of hair out of his face. He's sweating so hard the gel won't hold. With his free hand, he polishes the blood off the bracelet.
It's all I ever asked of you, too, he says.
His voice is calm, and the madness fades in his eyes.
We should have been there for each other.
He releases my wrist, and my knees give way. I slide down the wall to sit next to Tomas's body. Ty sticks the gun into his waistband and takes off his blazer. He jerks his head in Tomas's direction before he pins me with a stare.
The world is against us. You need to understand that before it kills you.
It's Rich coming from the kid with the gun. But his monotone leaves me far more afraid than his raging ever did. Give in, Ty, I try. There is nothing left to gain from shooting anyone.
No, there isn't,
he says. He neatly folds the jacket and places it on the floor. He retrieves his gun and sits down in front of me. The footsteps and voices have reached our floor. The officers are still too distant to hear what's being said, but they're moving with more confidence now. You won't kill me. A hint of panic creeps into my voice. We're family. That must count for something.
It does.
He takes off his watch and stares at it. I wonder how much time has passed. Minutes? An hour, maybe. It feels like days, an eternity. It's impossible to imagine the world around us has continued its normal rhythm. Ty folds the watch and puts it into his pocket.
Our family was everything to me once.
It's everything to me, too. There are so many things I would have done differently if I had the chance. Ty stares at me. I want to scramble to my feet, get away while I still can, but the barrel of his gun tells me to stay. Who will mourn you, Autumn? His question and my answer leave me numb. Apart from Sylv, no one will mourn me. I stand. The police will be here at any moment. This will be the end of it, and you will have accomplished nothing. He stares at me over the barrel, and the corner of his mouth twitches. A smirk, then a smile. A smile full of delight and mischief. When he pulls the trigger, I feel the shot rather than hear it. Pain overwhelms me. The floor opens up around me. The last thing I see before I fade is Ty turning the gun on himself. The last thing I hear is Ty saying, "I just don't want to be alone anymore." Then he blows his brains out.
CJ Johnson, at Cadet CJJ. The daylight is too bright here at hashtag OHS. 10:49 a.m. CJ Johnson, at Cadet CJJ. I hate this world sometimes. 10:49 a.m. CJ Johnson, at Cadet CJJ. But my brother is alive. We're lucky. 10:50 a.m.
Chapter 25, 10:50 to 10:53 a.m.
Sylv. At the sound of the shots, I shiver and curl up. The door slams open against the wall and I scream. I scream! But Fareed pulls me in and smothers the sound. The smell of blood and smoke is overwhelming. Three police officers barge in, weapons at the ready, shouting for us to raise our hands. Fareed slowly releases me and follows instructions. One of the officers raises the visor of his helmet, but he doesn't put down the gun.
Are you armed?
No, sir, Fareed says. I merely shake my head.
How did you get here?
We opened the door of the auditorium, Fareed says. My friend and I was the one who called 911 from the principal's office. He continues, but the words sweep past me. I was there. I don't need to relive it. I glance at the doorway. The other two officers have completed their sweep of the room and seem satisfied. Sounds filter in from the hallway. And with every set of footsteps, my heart soars and drops. Maybe Fareed was right. Maybe Tomas did know what he was doing. Maybe I imagined the gunfire. It won't be the first time I underestimated my brother. He's always had a knack for getting away with anything. Someone knocks on the door. I nearly jump out of my skin.
Miss?
One of the officers kneels down in front of me and places what is surely meant to be a comforting hand on my shoulder. My skin crawls and I shudder, shaking him off.
Don't touch me.
Fareed quickly says, Sylv, it's the police. It's okay. The officers talk with each other before one turns and disappears again.
We'll get you out of here.
The officer rocks to his feet, and Fareed scrambles to help me stand. With two officers flanking us, we head toward the hallway. My heart trips when we cross the threshold. Fareed's hand squeezes mine. Away from the windows, the light is dimmer, and perhaps it would be better not to see at all. Perhaps it would be easier not to see what we've lost. I blink. Tomas is slumped against the wall. My knees weaken and my stomach revolts. Tomas. Brother. Tyler is sprawled opposite him. His face is destroyed. And if I expected to feel victorious, I am mistaken. Here, at the broken places, all I feel is emptiness. A few steps away, Autumn lies curled and shaking. I break out in sobs. Officers surround her and one of them kneels beside her, trying to draw her attention. She doesn't respond. She twists and turns and pushes them away from her. Her fingers are curled around Tyler's hand. Her face is white, The linoleum around her is stained red. She came for us. For her brother. For me. She came for us after all.
Claire. One of the officers guides CJ toward the vans that will take her to Opportunity. To Steve. Chris steers me to a black girl standing to the side of the tent. Her lips are set in an angry line, and she keeps clasping and unclasping her hands in front of her. I only know she's a fellow senior because we had English together sophomore year, but other than that, we've managed to pass each other for 4 years.
My sister? Within your brother's class. They got along well.
She spits out the words.
Your boyfriend killed her. He shot your brother, too.
Suspecting it, knowing it, is still not the same as having it confirmed. There's no pretending now. I waver. The only thing that keeps me standing is Chris's hand supporting my elbow.
I think he got shot accidentally. He couldn't walk. When we were rushed out, they left him behind.
She stares at me, her eyes as fierce as the colors in her hair, but her voice dips.
I think they were too late.
I'm sorry for your loss, is all I can manage. She takes a shaky breath.
I'm sorry for yours.
The words don't make sense, but I nod. She disappears into the blur of faces. Chris is the only one whose presence registers, and I collapse.
Let me know as soon as you hear anything about the scholarships. I don't care if it's the middle of the night. I'm so proud of you.
Tracy stood outside the base, one hand on my shoulder. She looked untouchable in her immaculate uniform, her lieutenant's bars polished to a shine. Her eyes sparkled, and even her hair looked perfect. I wanted to be her. We hugged, and I whispered,
"Are you scared?"
She laughed.
"I'm terrified."
"Oh, good.
Me too."
You'll be just fine. Take care of Matt, okay? You're the eldest now. Opportunity High will be rough for him, at least the first couple of months. But tell him it's okay to be scared. We all are. It's part of growing up. Chris reaches for my hand, and all I want to do is wrap my arms around him and cling to him. To know that at least there is one part of my life that is strong and safe. I hate myself for wanting to be happy.
Are you?
Chris swallows the question.
Stupid question. I'm sorry.
I weave my fingers around his.
Are you?
He shakes his head.
No, I'm not.
Me neither.
I pause.
But I'm glad you're here.
Chris braves a wan smile.
I will always be here.
I know,
I say. And to my surprise, I do. Today leaves us with so many questions. Of all the people who died here today, did anyone really know anyone else? What they feared, what they wished for, who they wanted to be. But this I do know. Chris will always be there when I need him.
I don't want to be alone anymore.
Things changed between us. We need to figure out who we want to be. Who we can be. Who we are.
I want to teach, I blurt out.
Chris shakes his head and starts to laugh. The sound is strange amid all the grief, but it is also beautiful and healing. A girl runs in. I've seen her around the hallways, though I don't know her name. She is crying just like all of us, but when she stands in the middle of our tent, everyone stops what they're doing to listen.
He's dead. He shot himself. I overheard it on the radio.
She turns to the officer near the tent opening. He shakes his head apologetically. He can't say anything. But she can. And she does.
It's over.
Autumn. There is nothing left but pain. Flashes of life and flashes of intense darkness. Noise. Everything hurts. When I close my eyes, Ty's half-smile taunts me. When Ty pointed the gun at me, he smiled like he did